is here with us today. And hearts have already been touched and warmed. And I was thinking about while I was sitting up here on the platform, you sure wouldn't know by the atmosphere in here what the atmosphere is outside. There's a great deal of difference. And you know what? That spoke to me spiritually. In a world filled with problems and chaos, people wonder how Christians can have such an inner peace. And they look at us and say, how can that be? Well, no matter what it is on the outside, brother, we have something on the inside that keeps us fresh, keeps us alive, keeps us expectant in the things and the power and the blessings of God. I'm glad that what is on the inside does not have to be regulated by what's on the outside. Hallelujah. I'm not a thermostat. I'm a thermometer. Amen. I can change the atmosphere by my presence. Hallelujah to God. And you can too. My spirituality is not regulated by conditions and circumstances. I am a thermostat, not a thermometer, praise the Lord. And I'm glad for the presence and the power of God. Amen. If you have your Bibles with me today, you would turn with me to Exodus, the 32nd chapter. I'd like to read verses 26 through verse 29. For some reason, and the Lord always knows, when He laid this message on my heart, He knew the weather before I did. And He knew who would be here. You think sometimes, Lord, if that's the message You want for me on this Sunday morning, there must be going to be a tremendous amount of people, you know, here that need to make some kind of decision for Jesus. But I want to assure you that God makes no mistakes. And I feel like that this is His message for this congregation. I have to believe that. If I didn't believe that, I would be insane. But I believe that God gives us messages for congregations. And I believe that the Lord has something to say to us today. In verse 26 of the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus, and reading down through verse 29, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. I like that last part, don't you? That he might bestow upon you a blessing this day. Aren't you glad for the blessings of God? You may not believe this, but I believe that it's God's will to bestow a blessing upon us this day. Amen. This is the day the Lord hath made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. Sometimes we figure in our minds that there can only be certain days that God can bless us. Sometimes we believe that's Sunday, and others may be another day. Days of revival, or days of renewal. But I have it back in my mind that when God's people meet His conditions, I believe that every day can be a blessing from God. May not always be the same kind of blessing. But I believe every day we live, we can obtain blessings from God. How many of you believe that? I believe that God can bestow a blessing on every one of us today. It doesn't matter that it's 15 or 16 degrees. It doesn't matter that our house is not filled this morning. What matters is that God is here. And that we position ourselves in the place where God could bless us. Now I want you to look at that verse of Scripture and recognize that God had bless these people because they had put themselves in the position for the Lord to bless them. There are a lot of people who are professing believers that are not in the position that God can bless them. There are a lot of churches that God cannot bless because they're not in the position for God to bless them. One of the things that I find myself constantly challenged to do is to put myself in the kind of position and condition that God can bless me. I believe that God is a God that just does not bestow His blessings upon disobedient people. If God blessed those who were disobedient to Him, those that had sin in His life, and sometimes He extends mercy and grace to them, sometimes He will be lenient with them, but I want you to know in the final analysis, God will not continue to bestow His blessings on people who disobey Him. But these people had allowed themselves to be put in a position for God to bless them. I don't know about you, but I find myself hungry for the blessings of God. I don't know about you, I find myself hungry for more of God and the things of God. I find that continually I'm searching my life to make sure there is no hindrance, no obstacle in my life that would prevent Him from bestowing a blessing upon me this day. Every day I live, I need the blessings of God. I don't want to live without the blessings of God. I'm sure you're familiar with the story that I've read to you. How it came about in this verse that I read to you. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. They did that. They did that. It cost them something to get there. And I'd like to talk to you just a little bit about how they got themselves in the position for the Lord to bestow a blessing upon them. You read the book of Exodus, it's a challenging, challenging thought. I thought about the question that Moses asked that group of Israelites on that day when he ascended from the Mount Sinai. He stood at the gate and he issued a challenge to them. Who is on the Lord's side? And I want you to know that those that he bestowed a blessing on that day were on the Lord's side. I want you to know, friends, that the Bible said that God had been good. The people that Moses asked this question to were not heathen people. The people that he asked who is on the Lord's side were known as the people of God. They were people that God had redeemed and delivered from Egyptian bondage. They were people that knew what it was the night the Passover angel went through at midnight and slew all the firstborn who did not have the blood applied to the doorpost of the house. These people had been brought through the Red Sea by the miraculous power of God, went across on dry land, something over 2 million of them. This was who is asking who's on the Lord's side. Not only had these people been delivered out of Egyptian bondage and through the Red Sea on dry ground, they had been led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. These are people that saw their enemy destroyed in the Red Sea when the Red Sea came back together and destroyed Pharaoh and his army. These are people that had been fed from manna with heaven and from water from a rock by the supernatural intervention of God. These were people, my friends, that God had royally blessed. And yet now, Moses finds it necessary to address these people who had been redeemed, who had been delivered miraculously, who had been supplied with God's manna supernaturally. Now he was addressing these same people with the question, who is on the Lord's side? It shocks me that he couldn't tell who was on the Lord's side after God had done that much for him. But I see it in the world which we live in. It was a time of apostasy. God gave His Son to redeem us set us free, deliver us from Egyptian bondage. And God has miraculously provided for us. But every now and then, you look at the world and you wonder who's on the Lord's side. Sometimes you look in the church and you wonder who's on the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side? Moses was angry when he asked this question. For these same people had pledged to God their allegiance. When Moses was on the Mount of God in Exodus 19, 20, 21, 22, God had given him the Ten Commandments, and Moses had returned from the Mount of God. And these people, when they heard what God required of them, God said, I don't want you to have another God before me. I don't want you to make any graven images that you might bow down and worship to him. And he went on and gave them the Ten Commandments. And when Moses brought back God's commandments for the children of Israel, they were in a high state of emotion, and they pledged their allegiance to God. In Exodus 24 and 3 it says, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said unto us we will do. We'll do what God commands us to do. Moses said, all right, God's heard you make that pledge. Then Moses had to return back to the mount, there to speak with God as God gave him the directions of building the tabernacle and gave him the directions for the offerings and the priesthood and all these things. From Exodus 25 through verse 31, we find Moses 40 days on the Mount of God in the presence of God, receiving instructions from God about the people of Israel and building a tabernacle, or a place where God's Shekinah glory and presence could come down in the midst of the people. But now, after some absence from their presence, the people that had been delivered, the people that had been redeemed, the people who were being fed with God's manna and quail and the water from the rock, these people who had experienced the supernatural power of God became restless, disgruntled. And so on one day they came to Aaron, who had been left in charge of leading the people while Moses was on the Mount of God. They came to Aaron and said, Aaron, we want you to make us a god to lead us on. For we don't know what's happened to this Moses, this fellow that led us from Egyptian bondage. We've got to have a god we can see. You see, they had been in Egyptian bondage so long and lived in Egypt until they worshipped idols in Egypt. And they had gods they could see fashioned by the hands of men. And one of their gods was a calf. So when they approached Aaron and said, we've got to have a God. We've got to have somebody lead us on. We've got to have something we can see. The Bible says that Aaron consented and said, I'll tell you what you do. You give me all your gold earrings. Give me the earrings from your wives and from your sons and your daughters. And they brought all these gold earrings to Aaron. And Aaron melted all this gold down, and he fashioned and tooled out a calf. And there the calf was set before the people, and they began to worship that calf. And Aaron saw that he thought that was the very thing, and so he built an altar before the calf, and he proclaimed tomorrow as a feast unto the Lord. And the next day the people woke up and they began to worship that golden calf and said, these are the gods that brought us out of Egypt. They had forgot about the omnipotent, the all-wise, the eternal God, and started choosing to worship a God they could see, a God they had fashioned. This is the God. And about that time, the Bible said on the mount, God saw the idolatry of the Israelites and he became angry. And God said to Moses, Moses, get down to your people. He didn't even call them his people. He said, get down to your people, because they have corrupted themselves and they have turned aside quickly from obeying my commandments. And I'm going to slay and destroy every one of them. But I'll save you, Moses. I'll make a great nation out of you, Moses, but I'm going to wipe the rest of them off. They're a stiff-necked people. They're an ungrateful people. They're a forgetful people, and I'm going to wipe them off. And Moses did a most daring thing. He turned to God, and he began to talk to God in this fashion. He said, God, don't let your wrath be poured about on your people. Remember, these are the people that you brought out of Egypt with your great power and your mighty hand. And he said, God, if you destroy these Israelites now, the people in Egypt are going to say, their God tricked them. Their God delivered them from our hand and carried them out into the mountains and into the wilderness, and he destroyed them. And he went further and said, God, I don't want you to forget your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You remember you told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that you were going to bless their posterity and multiply it as the sands of the seas and the stars of the heaven. And beside that, God, you said you were going to give this land for an inheritance to the seed. He said, God, don't destroy them. And the Bible said, God changed his mind. Glory. He repented or changed his mind. I won't do it. And about when Moses got through, he came down from Mount Sinai. And as he approached the camp, Joshua was with him, gathered with him somewhere between the top of the mountain, the bottom of the mountain. Joshua joined forces with him. And as they were approaching the camp, Joshua said, I hear the noise of war. And Moses said to Joshua, that's not the singing of those that have, or the noise of those that have won victory or the noise of defeat. I just hear singing. And when they came down to the camp, the first thing that Moses saw, he saw that golden calf. And he saw people worshiping that calf. He saw people burning offerings to that calf. He saw idolatry. He saw immorality. He saw, my friends, the fruits of sin. And he looked at that calf and he went and got that calf. And he took that calf and threw it in the fire and melted that calf down. And then he took that melted gold and he ground it into powder. And then he strewed that powder on the water. And then he said, now you drink it. Forceful, isn't it? And then he walked up to Aaron and said, Aaron, I want to know, what did these people do to you that caused them to sin like this? Aaron was a sissy, weak-kneed preacher. He had no guts. He let people determine where he was going to stand. And God help the pulpit and preachers when we give vent to what people want us to do instead of what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. That's why I preached this message this morning. You didn't tell me to preach it. God told me to preach it. Why am I supposed to preach this up to God? I just have to be obedient. He said, Aaron, what did it do to you? And oh, Aaron, the sissy preacher, said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. They just gave me their gold, and I threw it in the fire, and out jumped this cow. Didn't have a thing to do with it. All I do, just took the gold, threw it, and out jumped this cow. Weak, frivolous. And about that time, Moses looked at them as they danced and paraded in their nakedness and their immorality, redeemed people, powerful people, people who had been fed by the miraculous power of God, who had walked through the Red Sea, people who had known what it was to be delivered from the death angel, people who had witnessed the locusts, the lice, the flies, the disease, the water being turned into blood, the rod being turned to a snake. These people who had witnessed the supernatural power of God now had forsaken God. How can people do that? People still do that. I see them walk to the altar, be cleansed, be healed, be blessed, be supplied, and walk out and forget God. How can people do that? Why does any man of God have to stand at the people of God? He wasn't addressing the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and all the rest. He was addressing the children of God, the people of God. Whose side are you on? They stood there. They looked at Moses, but I want to tell you, Moses could stand there in all that bravery because he had been on the mount with God. Amen. Before you start issuing challenges to people about where they stand, you better know where you stand with God. And I suppose when he had come down off that mountain, there was no doubt in his mind on whose side he was on. I mean, if a man can change the mind of God, that makes me know he was on the side of God. And he said, who's on the Lord's side? Who? Quickly, I want to tell you something about that statement. And then we'll get down to the position where God can bless you. First of all, I want you to know before God, you're in a position for God to bless. You must profess, proclaim, and declare whose side you're on. I believe before you're in a position for God to bless you, you must be in the place, my friends, to be able to let it be known whose side you're on. I believe himself in the position for God to bless. Hallelujah. Some people said, oh, what a question that is. Who is on the Lord's side? That narrows it down. That makes it so close. I've heard people, you know, people's asked me whose side I own, and I can remember a lot of times that I ain't on nobody's side. You ever say that when people were feuding and fighting and people were trying to get you on one side or the other, and you just say, I'm not on anybody's side. I'm just not on anybody's side. I want you to know today, you're on one side or the other. You're either on God's side or the devil's side. Amen. And if you're on the Lord's side, if you want God to bless you, brother, you better start proclaiming it. You better start declaring it. He said, who is on the Lord's side? And the children of Levi stood up and said, we are. Listen, my friends, what the Bible says about Joseph of Arimathea. It says, these are not days. These are not the days that God's people should try to remain anonymous. I believe we ought to declare where we stand. I believe we ought to profess it. It said of Joseph of Arimathea being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Brother, we don't need to be secret disciples. Another group, it says, of the scribes or the chief rulers. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And I want to tell you, their refusal to confess him did not allow them to be in a position that God could bless them. I believe if we confess him, we put ourselves in the possession for blessings. I read the statement this week, and it just really got a hold of me. The maid looked at Peter, and she looked at Peter and said, this is one of them. This is one of them. This is one of them. Peter said, oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not one of them. Yes, you are. Some of them said, your speech betrayeth you. So he decided he'd change that up and went to cursing, so nobody would know him. He disguised himself by using profanity. I'm not one of them. I want you to know I'm one of them, and I want the world to know I'm one of them. This is one of them. I want the world to be able to point the finger at Jack Dial and say, this is one of them. Hallelujah to God. I want to declare that I'm on the side of the Lord. A.C. Bates, great Assembly of God preacher. And every time we go to prayer and Bible conference, his name is mentioned, because the prayer and Bible conference is one of his works. It's one of the things he started. And now nine regions or nine states of the Assemblies of God gather together one time a year to have a prayer and Bible conference where we study the Word, where we pray. It was formed out of the mind and the heart of great H.C. Bates. Big, tall, lanky fella. He wrote me a letter one day with these words right after I got into the Assemblies of God, preached Brother Cadwalder's funeral. He wanted to encourage me. He came to the funeral. He addressed a letter, and I had the statement, one quote that will always stand in my mind. A.C. Bates said this, and I cast my vote daily that I am on the Lord's side. I cast my vote daily that I am on the Lord's side. I want the world to know that I'm one of them. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words, and this adulterous and sinful generation, and we're in that generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Millions today, literally millions, will take sides today in the Super Bowl. But oh, I want you to know, friends, this is the time that God's to let the world know whose side we're on. So I say that they positioned themselves for a blessing because they declared whose side they were on. They professed it. The next thing I want you to know is, friends, they put themselves in the position of a blessing that day, not only because they professed, but my friends, they not only professed, they proved it. Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. There were thousands, hundreds of thousands caught up in that adultery. He said, it's one thing to say you're on the Lord's side. It's another thing to prove that you're on the Lord's side. You know, we've got a lot of people running around saying they're on the Lord's side, but we don't only need to say it, we need to prove it. He said, if you're on the Lord's side, come unto me. Get yourself, separate yourself. Come out of that adultery. Come out of that stuff and come over here to where I am. I want you to know, I believe God is calling his people to separate themselves from the things of the world. I believe the time is, come ye out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Prove you're on God's side. Wasn't easy for those Levites to walk away from their friends, their acquaintances, their brothers, their sisters, even their sons and their daughters. But they made that move to prove, not only when he asked them who's on the Lord's side, maybe they raised their hand. Then he looked at him and said, if you really are on the Lord's side, come over here and stand with me. Brother, we put ourselves in the blessing position for God to bless us, not only when we declare we're on his side, but when we prove we're on his side. Listen, a certain scribe came and said, I will follow you, Jesus. I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus admired his sincerity, and he looked at him and said, I want to tell you something. Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of his head. Now, if you follow me, I want you to know you're not going to have very much materially. Amen. That's what he said. I want you to know I don't want you to get it all mixed up. In fact, one day Jesus turned around and said, I know why you're following me. You're following me because of the fishes and the loaves. I'm going to tell you, you've got to follow me. You've got to take up your cross daily and follow me. Amen. On another occasion, the Bible says that he said, let me suffer. Another one said, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll prove that I'm with you, but let me first go bury my dead father. Jesus said a strange thing. He said, let the dead bury the dead. You come on and follow me. What a price. He wasn't even going to allow the man to go back and bury his father. What Jesus was trying to teach was this. If you're going to follow me, you can't put any buts there. You can't have any reservations. You must be willing to follow me with all your heart. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He also said, so likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Who's on the Lord's side? Profess it and then prove it by coming to the Lord. So friends, they put themselves in position, number one, by answering the question, who is on the Lord's side, by their profession, and then by their coming out. They proved it. But there was another thing they put themselves in a position. Not only did they have to profess it, not only did they have to prove that they were on the Lord's side by coming out from among their brothers, their sisters, their mothers, and their fathers, but they had to prove they were on the Lord's side by strapping on a sword. They had to prepare for participation. If you're on the Lord's side, you better get ready for war. You better get ready to follow orders. You better get ready to participate. I want you to know I am a firm believer that Jesus Christ never called anybody just to be a spectator. I believe every believer has been called to be a participator and obey the commands of God. Brother, if we're on the Lord's side, there is going to be participation. We will not be spectators. If we're on the Lord's side, we've got to put on our sword and get ready to take orders. He said, all right, if you're on the Lord's side, strap on your sword. Then take that sword and go in and out among your brothers or sisters and slay his adulteress. Quite a command to follow, but they did. And as a result of their profession, as a result of their proving it by coming out, as a result of their participation and preparation and their performance, we have the words of Moses in this 29th verse. Then Moses told the Levites, today you have ordained yourselves. Oh, glory. You have ordained yourselves. I want you to know what you do with me does not determine whether I'm going to get blessed of God or not. It's what God does, and I allow myself. because you have ordained yourselves for the service of the Lord. For you obeyed Him, even though it meant killing your own sons and brothers. Now He will give you a great blessing. Today, read the words that He may bestow upon you a blessing this day. That didn't come about haphazard. God was able to bestow a blessing upon these Levites, not upon the rest of the Israelites, but He was able to bestow a blessing upon these men because they said, we're on the Lord's side and we'll prove it and we'll prepare and we'll perform. Brother, if you want God's blessings on your life, you better stand up and let the world know whose side you're on. And then you better go another step and prove it by coming out and strapping on your sword and be prepared to follow orders, even orders that you may not understand. But yet God says, who's on the Lord's side today? Who's on the Lord's side today? Who's on the Lord's side today? Does it matter? Who wants to know who's on the Lord's side? The Lord wants to know who's on His side. Moses didn't stand in the gate and say, who's on my side? He didn't stand in the gate and say, who's on Israel's side? He didn't stand in the gate and say, who's on the Assemblies of God side or the Baptist side or the Methodist side? He said, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? And I want to tell you, friend, it's not the denominational affiliation you have that matters. It matters whether you're on the Lord's side or not. Are you on the Lord's side today? Suppose the man of God were to stand here and look you in the face this morning, this congregation, and say, who's on the Lord's side? I believe the Lord's side. That's easy. Who's on the Lord's side? Stand up this morning. Everybody's on the Lord's side. Stand up. Amen. Glory. That wasn't hard, was it? Raise your hand and say, praise the Lord, I'm on the Lord's side. I know what some of you thought. That's so embarrassing. Well, flip it. That's the easy part. I mean, that's easy. I mean, all kinds of people are saying, Lord, Lord. Lord, we've cast out devils. Lord, we've healed the sick. Lord, Lord. I mean, it's easy to say, Lord, Lord. I mean, that's the easy part. I mean, when Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? I mean, you know, but the calf had already been burnt up. It already drank gold water. I don't know what that did for him. But brother, this man had the ear. He stood there anointed of God. He had the flame of God in him. He had the passion of God in him. He got their attention. And he said, I want to know who's on the Lord's side. Oh, maybe they all stood around and looked at one another. You know, when you stand like we stood this morning, man, that's easy. That's everybody. I don't see nobody sitting down. Everybody's on the Lord's side. Let's give God a hand. Amen. Glory. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. Everybody's on the Lord's side. Don't let this shoot your ego down, but I could walk over in the mall and ask that question. Everybody over there would say I was on the Lord's side. I never have met many people that just outright tell me I'm not on the Lord's side. Oh, I'm on the Lord's side, but I'm not living for Him right now, but I'm on His side. I really am for Him. But I just don't want nobody to know about it. That's easy to stand. But the next question was, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come over here. Separate yourself from your brothers and sisters, your folks. Come on out of there. That's the hard test, isn't that hard? Oh, you mean, Brother Jack, I got to give up some of this stuff? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. There's some things you're going to have to give up, some things that you're going to have to do away with. There's part of separation. Amen. You have to do it. Let him come out. Now, if I were to say, who's on the Lord's side? I want everybody out there that's on the Lord's side, just come on over and stand with me. Well, all of you were about ready to do that. That's pretty good. But the next question is, if you're on the Lord's side, put on your sword. and start performing some tasks for Him. Go out there and do war with the enemy. Go out there among your brothers. I could see them going through the sword. And they see him coming. Oh my, there's my brother, John. John, what are you doing with that sword in your hand? What are you doing? And he's walking through, slaying them. And his friends and his loved ones are dying around him. Why are you doing that? The Lord told me I had to do it. Listen, friends. To be on the Lord's side requires obedience when we don't understand. I want to close by saying this. There's a lot of people on the Lord's side when their emotions get stirred. I mean, get a good hot camp meeting going, and you can get a lot of people. I mean, emotions, they get stirred up on the Lord's side. But friends, you've got to stand on the Lord's side by faith, not feelings. And then there's a lot of people on the Lord's side when they get in trouble. Boy, when they're in trouble, I get on the Lord's side. And then there's a lot of people on the Lord's side till they get with the devil's crowd, like Peter. And then they don't profess it. But I want to tell you, friends, the best side to be is on the Lord's side. Can you raise your hand and say, praise God! Glory! And he said, because you proved you're on the Lord's side, the Lord's going to bestow a blessing upon you today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And God ordained them for the ministry of the priesthood. And they were ordained, my friends, to carry on in the sanctuary the services of God. Oh, you know what happened to me when I declared myself to be on the Lord's side and came out for Him and gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ? He blessed me that day by calling me into the ministry. The greatest blessing to come to you by declaring yourself on the Lord's side, He'll put you in the ministry. Would you bow your heads? Father, I look at this congregation. And Lord, when we asked those to respond who was on the Lord's side, every person here stood. Oh God, I thank you. But oh Lord, it's so easy to profess it. There must come the proving it. Sometime, Lord, we must come out and we must take our stand. We must gird up our sword and we must begin to do what God tells us to do. Oh Lord, help us, we pray. Why every head is bowed and every eye is closed. By your standing this morning, you have declared yourself to be on the Lord's side. I wonder this morning if there are those that are standing and say, Brother Jack, I'm on the Lord's side. And I love the Lord, but I'm not really, really proving it like I ought to. Would you raise your hands? God bless you. God bless you. I say I am, but I'm not proving it. My word, hands all over the house. Well, you that raised your hands, and quite a few of you did, I want you to make a step forward. I believe you mean it in your heart that you're on the Lord's side, but lately you've slipped back and you haven't been proving it by your consistent living for God, by your actions, you're not proving it. I want you that raised your hands to say, I'm going to prove I'm on the Lord's side because I'm going to step out of my pew and I'm going to come down and stand in the front of this altar and I'm going to let this people know here and I'm going to let God and I'm going to let the devil know I'm on the Lord's side and I'm ready to declare myself. While we sing, Brother Johnny, you just come and stand in the front of the altars. You that raised your hand, come on. I'm going to have a closing prayer with you that raised. I want to declare publicly that I'm on the Lord's side. I know I am, but I want to prove that I'm on the Lord's side.